But either way, I know some couldn't make it because it was a school night. But the Lord blessed many and will bless many more thanks to Cloverton and their concert this past Tuesday that benefited the CARES Food Bank of Strasburg. There were three churches involved. We sponsored it. And the Strasburg Community Church and Mountain View Fellowship co-sponsored it. I can't thank their ministers, which were Steve and Don, respectively, enough for all the help that they and their congregations provided. From a place for the band to sleep that night, to food, they got some awesome food, to all of us being insta-roadies, it was an incredible coming together of brothers and sisters in Christ to help feed the hungry, which is ultimately, well, it was to praise Jesus, but Jesus also saw an import in feeding the hungry. And it was some awesome music praising the Lord, wasn't it? I'd also like to mention, though, something that happened to Steve Don, the Strasburg community pastor Steve, and me. Showtime was at 7 o'clock, and about quarter of we went down to go to the green rooms downstairs, their basement, at the Strasburg Community Church to discuss logistics around the introduction and those type of things. We got to the bottom of the stairs, was ready to walk in. Do you know why we had to stop? We had to stop because we didn't want to interrupt an earnest, lengthy prayer that they were all having. Exactly. Yes, really. Yes, really. And that's when all four of us knew 100% that we had made the right decision in bringing those godly young men to Strasburg. And that prayer convinced me to add another entry to a series I began when I started to preach for the Church of Christ. Back in Antrim, New Hampshire, I first spoke once a month just to give the preacher a break. So I would speak once a month. And the first three sermons were based on WDJD. What do you think that means? WDJD. It's very close to something you've heard before.
What would Jesus do?
That's WWJD.
What was it?
WDJD.
What did Jesus do?
Exactly. What did Jesus do? There's a ministry called Living Water. I think he also did Way of the Master. And their point was, instead of saying, what would Jesus do, you should say, what did Jesus do? Because that you know for sure. If you say, what would Jesus do? Well, you've seen it in social media. There could be arguments. There are people in social media that says Jesus would triple your taxes to pay for, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, we know what Jesus did. My first sermon was back in February 22nd, 2009, first sermon, I should say, for the Church of Christ. What was, what did Jesus do? Scripture. Today is going to be WDJD, prayer according to Mark. I figured I'd read through the whole book of Mark, and we'd learn together from the times it records Jesus praying. This approach incorporates a couple of good ways to learn. Number one, instead of trying to take everything in at once, which can get a bit overwhelming sometimes, you focus on one topic. Read through the Gospels and look at prayer. Read through the Gospels and look at healing. Read through the Gospels and do that, or a Gospel. So that's one thing. You focus on one topic. That's one good way to learn. Also, it does, this is a great approach. You read a whole book of the Bible in one sitting. And that gives you a better sense of what God was trying to say through the Holy Spirit-inspired writer. And although it was great for Mark, I would suggest if you're going to read Revelation, that's almost the only way you should read it. Because then you get the full, I think, the true intent. I'm not saying perfect. There's a lot that can be delved out of it. But I think that if you read through Revelation from the first chapter to the last, you get a much better perception of what God was trying to say through John than you do having somebody do a Revelation seminar and tell you what each horn stands for. Now, after reading through Mark, I suspect it may have been a better gospel to leverage for WDJD prayer. For instance, John's inclusion of Jesus' priestly prayer for the Last Supper, that could launch many sermons. Mark doesn't have it. Also, Mark, like John, does not include Jesus' teachings on how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. A full review of what Jesus did, WDJD, when it comes to prayer, needs to at least contain all of the Gospels. But Mark doesn't actually disappoint. So let's hop in and look at the first time. At least I caught it. I'm not perfect. I'm human. Could have messed some. But the first time Mark mentions Jesus praying, and this is Mark 1:35. The other nice thing about doing a sermon out of one book in the Bible is it'll be easy to find stuff because we're going to, at least this time, go not chronologically, go from the beginning to the end. Something else to remember, books in the Bible are not necessarily written chronologically. As a matter of fact, more times than not, I would suggest you can't assume that. So Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus, got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. What can we learn from that short selection? Got to be cautious about reading in too much, but I would suggest Jesus started his day with prayer. Jesus made time to pray. Jesus made time to pray without distraction, which is a bit different. And Jesus made prayer a priority. So which of those four things do you think we should emulate? All four? Yeah. All four? If you were, don't answer this one. If you were graded based on just those four things, how would you score? If you wouldn't score well, what should you do? Pray to God to help you do better, right? And I'll be up front. I'll stand up here. I do not score well. I'm a minister and I don't score well. We're so busy in life and we're so tired that often probably get out of bed and we're quickly running to get this done or that done. Now, it is true because I read through the Bible 1 year and I'm one of these people, if I have homework, I don't like it hanging over my head. So I actually wake up and I usually read Scripture to begin with. But that's not the same as Jesus. Jesus knew Scripture, but he prayed, and that's what I should do. Now, in fairness, I don't know about you guys, if I woke up and I immediately prayed, guess what I would do? I'd fall right back to sleep. So there is something to that. Maybe it's I should wake up, have my first caffeine, and then pray. But if you don't do well in those four things that Jesus shows in the first time Mark records it, then just pray to God. God can help you. God can help me. Okay, second time Jesus is recorded by Mark praying is before the one miracle that is recorded in each and every gospel. You guys remember what that was? What miracle that Jesus did is other than the resurrection? What miracle did Jesus do that's recorded in every gospel? Nope, that's actually only John. Exactly, the feeding of the 5,000. So let's turn in Mark 6:37-44. Mark 6, and we're going to look at verse 37-44. So, I mean, the background is that it's getting late. People should be hungry. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "You give them something to eat," he responded. They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Seems a little kind of pushback there. He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. So, sorry, as I get attacked by a bug. Notice it said in verse 41, what did he do to the loaves? Verse 41? He blessed them. So from that, we can learn Jesus said grace before eating, and Jesus thanked the Father for his blessings. Now, Michelle, Augie, and I do say grace before dinner, but I think that not doing so on other occasions, unintentionally, is not giving God the constant credit that we should for his blessings. And I'm not just talking about breakfast and lunch, but even when we're out and about, which I still would be breakfast and lunch, is it really that embarrassing in a restaurant just to say a quick grace? We don't have to jump on the table and, no. And we should do it every time because the blessings are constant. They don't go in and out. Grace. I was going to say, I've got my notes here. And if you look at me, you can see that I've been overly blessed with food. Saying grace is important. It grounds us in God's care for us, without which none of us would survive. Do you realize that, Maxwell? If God didn't care for you every second, you would just die like that. Not to scare you, because God does care for you. But every breath we have, every morsel we eat, every glass of water or bottle of soda we have is a blessing from God. Grace also reminds us that prayer is not just for asking the Father for what we need. It's a time to thank him for all that we have. Prayer, and we learn this from Jesus, prayer is not just petition, it is praise. Okay, next one. Next one, you might wrestle with me a bit about this one. The one I would categorize as the third time Mark records Jesus praying. But let's see whether you will wrestle with me or will agree with me. This is Mark 7, 31 through 37. Mark 7, 31 through 37. We there?
Yep.
Again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, throughout the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking and begged Jesus to lay his hand on them. So he took him away from the crowd in private. After putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, you see, this is one that I can't say I would know how to say, Ephphatha, because it got like PHPH. Well, you know what I mean? That is, be opened. I assume that's Aramaic. Immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. He, Jesus, ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. So the reason I say this one looks like prayers, it says, and looking up to heaven. I take that as a form of prayer, wouldn't you? And from that, I would suggest that we can learn, from what Jesus did there, we can learn, with Jesus, prayer wasn't just an action, it was an attitude. Does that make sense? With Jesus, prayer wasn't just an action, it was an attitude. That is, although Jesus did formally pray, and often, the prayerful connection with the Father was continual. He didn't walk life alone and dial up the Father now and then. His thoughts were perpetually connected with the Godhead. And that's how we should be too. We shouldn't really compartmentalize things into secular and religious. As a believer, everything is religious and should be done for the glory of God. So when you're serving at the restaurant, or you're helping a kid at school, or I'm putting together an Excel spreadsheet, there should be that constant connection, that constant prayerful attitude with God. And could you imagine how the world would change if that was true for all Christians? Acting like Jesus draws people to Jesus. Okay, the next two times you find Jesus praying in the pages of the Gospel of Mark are like the second time, saying grace. To save time, we'll skip the feeding of the 4,000, which I think is the only, I could be wrong, might be only Mark that records that one too. And we're going to skip that one. That's Mark 8, 1 through 10 if you want to see it. But we definitely want to talk about the fifth time which is Mark 14, 22 through 25. Mark 14, 22 through 25. As they were eating, he took bread, blessed it, there we go, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, there's another prayer, after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Not only does that reiterate the importance of saying grace, but we learn from it, Jesus made prayer part of the Lord's Supper. And good news is, we may not have done well on the first four or the graces. The good news is, we know we at least do that, don't we? We know we at least do that. At least we can check off that one thing. Okay, now we're getting close to the end of Mark. How many chapters are in Mark? Do you know? How many chapters in Mark? Damien, do you know? Make a guess. No, more than five. 16, very good. Thank you, Deb. As we get close, it's fine. It's like somebody asked something on Twitter. Unless you say you can't Google it, I'm going to Google it, and you can't tell me I cheated. You didn't say I couldn't Google it. And I will never tell somebody they're cheating for opening the Bible to get an answer. Now, as we get close to the end of Mark, the next two or three cases of Jesus praying is probably the one situation where Christians always remember to pray. So the next two or three times is the one situation that Christians always remember to pray. Guess what that is? When we need something. Exactly. We remember when we need something. So let's look at Mark 14, 32 through 42. Mark 14, 32 through 42. And this has a word that I can say fine when I'm alone, but I always mess it up when I'm preaching. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane. That's the word. And he told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." He went a little farther, fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Can you identify with those words? I know I can. Once again, he, Jesus, went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And again he came and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. They did not know what to say to him. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The time has come. See, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. See, my betrayer is near." Perhaps in a future sermon I'll focus on what Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it was horrible. Actually, beyond horrible. In bad times, Jesus turned to the same one he turned to in good times. So what do we learn? In times of trial, Jesus prayed. And so should we. But not only then, okay? Oh, the reason I said the next two or three cases, if you're wondering why I wasn't specific, is because Mark 14, 32 through 42 only mentions him praying twice, but then it says, and he, being Jesus, came a third time, which implies Jesus prayed three times. The count really doesn't matter, unless, of course, you got a mathematician's brain like me. Okay, final time. Final time now that Jesus prays. It's at the cross. As with healing of the deaf man, you might disagree that this is prayer, but I think I'm right. Take a look at Mark 15, 33 through 37. Mark 15, 33 through 37. Mark 15, starting with 33, ending with 37. Are we there? When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you, or most translations would say forsaken me, but why have you abandoned me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, see, he's calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. What do you think? Was that a prayer on the cross? Would you also say that was a prayer? Okay. Assuming so, we can learn two things from this. Number one, Jesus didn't hide his true feelings during prayer. Jesus did not hide his true feelings during prayer. And number two, Jesus prayed on his deathbed, to use a term. Jesus prayed on his deathbed. As for not concealing his feelings, we actually saw that in Gethsemane too, right? Jesus was willing to go to the cross, to die on the cross, but did he hide from the Father that he didn't want to? He let him know. As we mentioned in a previous sermon, trying to hide something from God is pretty dopey, isn't it? He's omniscient. The only one you're fooling, if you do that in prayer, is yourself. Well, actually, not just prayer. If you try to hide something from God, the only one you're fooling is yourself. As for praying on his deathbed, I would suggest that this is part of the fact that prayer was an attitude, not an action for Jesus. Unlike us, Jesus never needed to be reminded to pray. Even when the Father, think about this, because we do communion and we have to be reminded, this is what that represents. Even when the Father treated Jesus as sin and turned his back on him, Jesus still prayed. Jesus still prayed, which gives us our last bullet, which is Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. Okay, so did our quick journey on prayer, on the prayer road in Mark, teach you anything? Did you learn anything? Maxwell, did you learn anything? Well, you're smiling at least. You don't know? Were you paying attention to me the whole time? Yeah? Okay. Let's go quickly over what we learned. But we're going to change it from what Jesus did to what we should do, because that's really what it comes down to. Let's take what I went through in the sermon that Jesus did to what we should do. We should start our days with prayer. We should make time to pray. We should, and I'm not saying all the time, some of these things we've got to be cautious. The next one says we should pray without distractions, but that doesn't mean we should only pray when there are no distractions. It's just that we should find some times when we have no distractions and pray. We should make prayer a priority. We should say grace before eating. We should thank the Father for all our blessings. We should make prayer a constant attitude, not just an occasional action. We should pray during the Lord's Supper. We should pray during times of trial. We should not hide our feelings during prayer. We should be prayerful up to our last breath. And individually and together, we should be people of prayer. I pray that soon what is said of Jesus when it comes to prayer can be said of us.